concerns some of us very actively and the others not quite as actively, but we all know that the human being is an imperfect creature. So we're all at times nursing certain problems comes under the nature of healing. I'd like to introduce a few thoughts into the healing work that give more of a substance so that we can pursue it with more scientific accuracy before we lose the spirit. Jesus, of course, was a perfect healer. And we may wonder why and how. We know the Christ should be. But the Christ also had certain methods which he was trying to suggest that we use. And usually all the people who are interested in healing have a talent for it and can effect some healings. Some go as high as 75%. We'd like them to understand the healing from a different perspective. Maybe there are 20 healers among you, but I think the rest of you are just as interested as the healers, because when you get a problem, you want healing. Although many of you will try it yourself, you'll find that you can't do it in some cases. And basically, as spiritual students, we should be able to know the principles that we're trying to follow. The first step is your spiritual consciousness. We don't heal with the material consciousness. Every time we try it, we find it doesn't work. It doesn't last. It doesn't hit the desired area. It takes too long. The patient just gives up. He says, where's the healing? Yet there are some who can do it well. The first thing to remember on healing is that you have to have a spiritual consciousness. That's in spiritual healing. An infinite way healing. Without a spiritual consciousness, it's like a doctor without tools. So, building your spiritual consciousness is step number one. And that's a daily process. Every day of your life, you have to increase your capacity to reach the spirit of your own being, and then the spirit of your customers or your clients or whatever you call them. So you've got something in your throat, or your client has. How do you enter that man's throat? You're not going in, you're not taking a pair of forceps or pliers or whatever you go into the throat with. You're going in as a spiritual self. And you're recognizing his spiritual self. And it's painless. You have no map. You know the general direction of where you're going. You know what you're trying to do. But somehow the cough doesn't go away. So you try again. And it depends on what type of healer you are. We know some who repeat, You're not well. You're not sick. You're not this. You're not that. And some of it has an effect on them, but it's not a permanent way of healing. It's not a kind of healing that you're proud of as something you've done. And it doesn't last usually. In spiritual healing, we have two things to consider. First, you have been building your spiritual consciousness. That means you can get into it pretty fast, out of your human consciousness. And of course, if you plan to heal on a permanent basis, then you don't even have a human consciousness, or at least it's a minimal part of your being, and you're working on lesser and lesser and lesser of it. Because people are coming to you for the spirit. So then you've got a spiritual consciousness, but you've got the problem nonetheless. And you've got to face it in such a way that you might say that you have a direct access to where the problem is to be treated. You're not missing. And by that I mean the whole patient is the problem. He's separated from his spirit. And you've got to learn how to get him back into a oneness with his spirit. And that's all it takes, to get him into a oneness with his spirit. But you can only do it if you are in oneness with your spirit. And if you are, and he is, there can be a meeting of the two minds into one, with a possible result that you find the Christ healing. You find the Christ perfection in his invisible being. Now, I want to introduce the idea of a spiritual body. Most times we're healing blindly. We're just taking the individual and we're saying, well, I'll go to work on it and I'll be quiet and I'll be still and I'll try to contact your spirit. You want to know that there is a spiritual body that is right where the patient is, right where you are. And strangely enough, there can be nothing wrong with it. I don't care how well the patient is, the spiritual body is not. It can't have a dent in it. It can't have a flaw. The spiritual body of the patient is the body of Christ. You don't have to do anything about it. You have to know it. You can't improve it. And you don't have to worry about what's wrong with the patient, because it isn't wrong. Anything that he's got, he only thinks he has. He say, well, he thinks he's got a pain in the side. And you know better. He not only hasn't got a pain in the side, he hasn't got a side. You've got to denude him. You've got to see him as he is. He's the perfect spirit without any physical attributes. Every patient you ever have has no physical attributes. That's a hard one to remember until you get into the swing of it. So you're not trying to improve him. You're trying to recognize that this is a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. And if he comes into your perception in such a way that he responds then he will, it will. And he'll think, well, you're in marvelous theater. You made my rib go back into place, and you made my lungs do certain things. But you're not doing anything. You're just recognizing that he is perfect. And you've got to know how to recognize him. So healing is quite simple. And I'd like you to try to learn it if you haven't. Because many things you can treat yourself. You can take any accident you have and you can treat it in such a way that the problem is resolved. You can take serious things and treat them. Sometimes you're not able to do that, so you hire another practitioner who's able to do it. The point is that you can be healed if someone is there who knows that you are perfect to start with. They can't heal what seems to be wrong because there's nothing wrong. They may not discuss this with you. You've got to know. I am God's perfect creature. Sometimes, in the knowledge that you are, you don't need any help from anyone. I'd like to discuss a few of the healings in here, because Jesus had a way of doing them so perfectly that if we could get into his perception of how he did it and what he did, and sort of try to duplicate it, you might find a great deal of spiritual education. Let's look at one. I've written down. Let's see. It's the boy at Nain. This boy was about 18 years old. I don't know who did him in, but it ended up as he was walking, and next thing you know, he was flat on his back, and his mother, all the cousins, uncles, brothers formed a procession, which was a sad-looking thing, and they solemnly walked toward the graveyard with his body. Disciples were going another way, but their paths crossed intentionally, and now Jesus was going to work with this boy from the city of Nain. Mind you, Jesus is quite aware of the fact that whatever seems to have happened has not happened. Nothing ever happens in the material world. In the spiritual world, which is all there is, perfection is. In the material world, somebody thinks he's suffering or she thinks she's suffering, and here he is, he's dead. And the master is going to raise him. We can get out of it for ourselves, but you can see that he wouldn't have raised him if he didn't want us to know it, and if he wanted us to know it, that means that other people can be raised. And so we may learn as we go into this that man may seem dead, but if he's not gone too far so that he's an outcast or discast aside, if he's not through with this incarnation, he may be ready to embed himself in the next one. Someone who knows what he's doing can see that he is a living creature. Came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now where he was come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people, as much people as the city, was with her. Now she's a widow. Do you get the significance of widow? It's quite simple. Whoever has no God connection is called a widow. I mean, that's a spiritual way of saying it. So she didn't know anything about the God connection. She was a widow. And when the Lord saw her, he had passion, compassion on her, and said unto her, "Weep not." She's going to stop weeping if her son was dead. She had a reason to weep. Weep not. He was probably telling her that there's a reason to weep not. I'm going to soon show it to you. I'm going to show you that the boy isn't dead. He couldn't say that. He'd have to show that. But anyway, weep not. You're in for a surprise, just like our friend the other day with the resurrection. And he came and touched the bier. Bore him, stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Now that sounds quite strange. Here's a boy being carried in a coffin. Jesus comes up and says, "Young man, arise." If he was going to go into some prestidigitation or some analysis of the situation, something else, you would hear about it. But what he did was what he said he did. He said, "Young man, arise." That's all. What happened? He was dead. Sat up. A man just says to a dead man, "Arise." And he arises. And you and I must figure out how he did it. first of all, I was asked to do this once a long time ago. I didn't succeed, but I wish I had known more than I knew now. My excuse was that this man wanted to die, and I can't countermand his desire. I think that's true, too. If a person commits suicide, you don't have the ability to raise him up. But if he doesn't commit suicide, if he didn't want to die, you have the ability to raise him up. And that may sound like a tough job, and it is. But here we are, seeing it with our own eyes about a boy who's 18, incidentally. Jesus came right up and said, "Young man, arise." And he arose. How could he do this? He had no power. He didn't hypnotize him up. And we've got to know how he did it. It's important that we all know exactly how he did it. I told you at the start of this seminar that no man has ever died. You find it's true. No matter as long as you live, you'll find it's true. This man had not died. Ostensibly, he had. To all appearances, he was dead. He probably had a heart that stopped ticking, so forth. His bodily functions stopped. He was, as a doctor would pronounce him, dead. But he wasn't dead. There was no trick about it. He was dead, but he was spiritually alive. All right? That's the word, spiritually alive. Now, Jesus is going to work on his spirit. He just completely ignores the physical element. He bypasses it completely. Now, what makes this boy still alive? You've got to know. He has a spiritual body, and you have a spiritual body, and everyone has a spiritual body that cannot die. We never knew that one time. Maybe some of us didn't know it until now. But we all have a spiritual body that can never die. Even when they cast us into the ground, throw the sand over us, we still have a spiritual body that cannot die. And it's funny that you don't have an individual spiritual body. You have the one spiritual body, which is infinite. And the one who's above ground alive has that same body, and you're dead under the ground, and you have that same body. And that's the simple truth, and it's incredible. One infinite body, our pure spirit, and it never changes. It never changes. So that's the first step for Jesus. He didn't even have to think about it. He knows this. It's an automatic thing with him. This boy is alive in his spiritual body. So he goes up to him and says, "Arise, young man." That's all he did. That doesn't mean everybody is going to arise. You walk up to him and say, "Arise, young man." You have to have the ability to live in the spirit. Because here, the spirit is meeting the spirit. The one spirit is consolidating itself as one spirit. When he says to the boy, "Arise," he is the one who is making the boy arise. He sees this as one spirit. It's Jesus who is effecting the rise. Jesus who is rising in the boy. Now, what you would do in a case like this is you would know that there is one spirit, now you would anyway, and he is that spirit and you are, you start meditating. You wouldn't say anything to him. You'd meditate, and meditate, and meditate. You might have to meditate for 2 days. You might get results quicker. You have to know that he is spirit, that you are spirit, and that his spiritual body can never change. But you must reach him with spirit. All your brain work won't do any good. It's not easy. You've got to learn how to live in the spirit to do it. Jesus not only lived in the spirit, he was the spirit. There was nothing extra. He didn't have 98% spirit and 2% human mind or anything of that sort. He was spirit. And you're going to learn how to be spirit. It'll take quite a while before you learn how to lose the human qualities. But you'll find that when your spirit, well, you may not even be here at that time because you graduate. You won't have to say to the boy, rise. But anyway, Jesus did to show us that the way we affect the healing is to know this is the living Son of God who appears to be dead. And I am the living Son of God. And we are one Son. Sounds incredible. And we can't duplicate it because the case hasn't arisen yet. But you may find someone who has got the job. And he may fail because he doesn't know that this lad or this person who's appearing dead, maybe a 6-year-old, maybe a little baby, his spiritual body is all there is of him. And you can think that, oh, he's only 2 years old, he can't have him developed yet. He doesn't have to develop. He's got the same spiritual body we all have. That is what he always has, even when he's no longer a little physical boy. Now that's the biggest thing to know about spiritual healing. And it figures in every healing. Even the healer doesn't go through all this. But he is trained to reach the point of spiritual awareness and oneness. That's how he gets the results. Let's go through it all and see what he says. And we all saw the widow. He had compassion on her and said, weep not. And he came, touched the boy, the bier, and they that bare him stood by, stood back, stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead. Is that a speak. And he delivered him to his mother. interfere. Oh, no. They had seen a miracle. They didn't know what to feel. They couldn't quite adjust to that. And he glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and God has visited his people. That would be a mighty deed. When you think of them crucifying this man, it's the most insane thing that could have happened. They ought to put him up on a podium and carry him around, and, you know. Anyway, that's the man they tried to crucify. And this rumor of him went forth throughout the Judean, all Judea, and throughout all region around. This man walked up to a boy who was dead. "Stand up," he said. The boy stands up. "Do you remember what happened?" It had to have a reason to happen. If it's an example for us, then it means just what it says. The boy was not dead, although medical science would have said he was. He didn't give him any time to respond to his statement. He just said, "Get up." The boy got up. So you think now that this must be possible. But who's going to perform it? Medical science won't. Jesus isn't around. Well, how about you and me? How about us taking the job whenever we see anything of this character? We'll catch the man in his spiritual identity. And if he doesn't happen to be dead, just sick, we'll still catch him in his spiritual identity, because that's the secret of it. The knowing that this is living spirit I'm talking to, not a dead boy. Now, how would you go about this? The person comes to you for help. And you're a healer. What's the problem? I tell you the problem. The first thing you do is you put that problem in the wastebasket. I mean it. You listen very attentively, because the man has a right to tell you what his problem is. But if you buy it, you've lost him. You cannot buy his problem. You've got to see that spirit has no problem. And this is spirit, no matter what he says. Sometimes a cure will take a year or two. And you'll have to go through it every day. You'll have to think this hurts and hurts and hurts. You never think that he's spirit. You never heard the word. That's how deficient the world is in the truth. Now, we should know at least that he is spirit, because we've got to know that we are spirit. That's essential. Spiritual living is living in the spirit. So there's a boy come, and they say he's sick, and he's this and he's that, but I know he's alive and he's spirit. That's the first big step. You see what an advance that is over healing methods? And how it makes everything possible for just an ordinary man to be a healer. We really can all be healers. It'll take a certain amount of capacity to get inside this consciousness as spirit myself, and to live in the spirit, and to touch this man's spirit with my spirit, so that the two are one. That's where the ingenuity and the talent and the experience fall. Just recognize that you don't have an unsurpassable problem when something serious happens. What you've got is to find someone who knows what the problem is and how to handle it. Now, there are no physical knives to use, nothing to sedate the man. There's no delay. He doesn't have to go on suffering. And it's not a big expense. And I know it won't work the first time. It might not work the first 1,000 times. But when it does work, if you've been doing it the way you should, you find it works on everything. Everything. Now, as I say, Jesus wouldn't be doing this for any other reason. That is important. He wants the world to know that healings happen of even dead people. And he wants you to know that the dead people arise because they're not dead. When he says to the young man, arise, he is using spiritual words. The substance of his words is spirit. Are you going to practice so that when you speak spirit? Can you fill your words with the spirit? Because when you do, you will say arise, and that will dehypnotize the patient right there. So one man will say arise, just a mortal statement. Another man, deep in the spirit, will say it and will cut the cords that bind the man, cut the hypnosis. Isn't that wonderful? What spirit opens for us? How this has lain in the Bible for 2,000 years. We have not been aware of how. Stop
Forrester.
I'm the same way. He gives a girl back her life the same way. She passed out in a coma. You see, he is spirit. And spirit does the work. The spirit that he is isn't this big or that big or that big. He speaks on a spiritual universe is what he speaks from. When you are spirit, you will speak from the spiritual universe. And I'm not talking just so that I can amuse anybody. I'm expecting you to be spirit. I'm working hard myself. It just doesn't come easy. You've got to keep working at it, working at it, working at it. Until you lose a sense of mortality and you feel, well, I'm somewhat higher than I was. It takes discussions like this to make you aware of the power of spirit, and I find that in the discussion we all seem to get a little further into it, so that it might be possible someday to achieve the spiritual recognition. That it won't be just a voice saying, I say arise. It will be spirit saying arise. That's where the difference is. Set up. There came fear on all. They glorified God, seeing that a great man, a great prophet, is raised up among us. We could have put a flag out and marched the city, sounded his name for a million years. If we knew of a man today who did that, may be that man. Let's look at another one. Man in a coma. 22. It's right nearby. This is slightly different. Recall, no one in all of the city could heal him, and the father appeared before Jesus, said, heal my daughter, and Jesus left where he was and followed the man to his house, comes in, sees a girl lying there just a frail little girl. She's in a bed. There's all these people wandering around. They call them, they're paid people to do that. And they're acting out all of her sorrowful nature. And they're doing something to keep the spirits away, the spirits that are the dead spirits. And they're wailing, and Jesus banishes them. Why? Because the wailing isn't going to heal the girl, just going to raise the roof out of the place. He gets rid of everybody who's there. Anyone left is her father, Jairus, but he has his disciples over here, as if to say, "Lala, watch, fellas, here's what I'm going to do." Now, if you remember, she had a problem that they couldn't decipher. They didn't know why she couldn't breathe or speak, what brought her ill, and then she lapsed into this coma. I guess he wasn't saying much for doctors at the time. But nothing could heal her. Nothing. Now again, Jesus took her as a perfect spiritual being. I'm emphasizing that. I want you to remember that. That every patient coming to you, everybody who says I'm sick, is sick only in his concept of it. That his spirit is not sick. Spirit can't be sick. And spirit is the identity of everyone who comes in a material form. Doesn't matter if they're big or small, they're not material. Their substance is invisible spirit. And so you say to yourself, this patient is spirit, perfect spirit. That means he's well. The only thing that's stopping him is the hypnosis, a feeling I got diphtheria or this or that. Every patient is hypnotized. And if you're going to be hypnotized too, then there'll be two of you hypnotized, and you'll never do them any good. It takes quite a while before you're not frightened by the situation, you know, and you can collect yourself and just quietly know.